Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our episode today is Terror on the Jersey Shore.
Didn't they make a show about that?
No, I don't think. Well, it was a terrible show. This is about the shark attacks, Brandy of 1916. Of course, I know you're very familiar with this topic.
I thought they made a show.
I've actually seen the documentary on this, Timmy.
Well, Chuck was there.
He was quite young at the time.
Yeah,
I've been to the place that this happened, but I've not there at the time.
But anyway, this is what they based the movie and the book and movie Jaws on. So we're going to talk about the shark's dastardly deeds, Brandy. But before we do,
shark was being a shark. I don't know if he was. Was dastardly.
And we'll talk about that. That's not the case. He's being dastardly.
The shark was a dick.
Shark was being a shark. The sharks eat people. That's what sharks do.
It's not in their job description. As you will find out. If you had read the script, you would know that.
I feel like you're being a little judgmental of the shark here.
All right. First, I'd like to remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language.
And ain't nothing funnier than people getting eaten by sharks.
If adult humor offends
challenge you. Challenge you to find something
You know
funnier.
What?
If adult humor offends you, we
go fuck yourself.
Invite you to listen to one of the other fine podcasts out there, like our friends with They Walk Among Us, and a cool new podcast called There Might Be Cupcakes with Carla, our friend Carla. So check those out.
Carla's my favorite.
She's very nice.
She is very nice, but now you're
oh, because Chuck always calls everyone his favorite. Yeah.
Now you're going to get hate.
But it's a great
to provide comfort for me in my time.
It's a great podcast, and I tuned in because I really thought I might get cupcakes, but you know they don't give you cupcakes. But it's really good.
That's kind
it's
of
really
a lie. Says,
no, because the whole there premise might is be cupcakes, maybe.
Maybe. But you know what I realized halfway into the third episode?
It's not even about cupcakes.
There's no way she can even give me a cupcake.
You got three episodes in before you realize that.
But anyway, check it out. It's a fun podcast.
I thought if I played it long enough, she'd show up at the house with some cupcakes.
We would like to also plug our two other podcasts. The Colonel and I have a podcast about baseball players who die young. It's called Dead Ball. And we're excited because today it is the first time it's reached the top 200 of iTunes on their history charts. So
we're right behind Dr. Buzzkill.
Professor Buzzkill,
whoever he is. Yeah.
So that's exciting. We have three podcasts in the top 200 under history. The other one is Brandy's podcast. You want to tell us about Brandy?
Yes. Myself and a young lady named Rachel.
You having a stroke over there?
She sounds like me, actually.
I'm trying not to cough and die, if you could.
Okay.
Or, you know, whatever.
Okay, she's going to chew cough drops while talking.
You ain't going to cough and pee your pants now, are you, in the middle of the podcast?
I hope not again.
Anyway.
This show must go on.
Tell us about your podcast.
Anyway, myself and a young lady named Rachel, we do a podcast called Haunted Visions, and it's just about, the paranormal, weird things that happen, and unexplained phenomena that go on, much like the success of this podcast.
It's unexplained.
It's unexplained. It's a weird phenomena.
Successful.
Well,
we are excited because this, as we record this, we're in the 14th of September, and next month, and we're 1 month away from DweebCon.
We are 1 month away from DweebCon,
and we're excited that a lot of our listeners are coming into Cincinnati. We're going to meet them, and it's going to be fun and merriment, Brandy.
So much merriment.
Yes.
So much merriment. I'm not even going to go home.
It's going to be big. Colonel, you have any, of course, you're having some surgery before the...
I'll be getting myself tuned up and ready. I had to, they're going to do the two at
once. Well, I haven't introduced you yet. Let me introduce everybody.
You haven't introduced anybody.
I know. Well, we haven't done one of these shows in so long.
You plugged yourself, so you're done.
Let me introduce the lady.
I have not plugged myself in quite some time.
Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm taking my cough drops and drinking warm
coffee. You know, it's a very sad day when I'm the healthiest one in this room.
It is a sad day. I have a cold.
You don't know that.
But yeah.
Maybe they just haven't found something yet.
Oh, they've found plenty. They're just not telling it. But I do want to say I had an experience last week that I wanted to talk about that I was aggravated about.
Okay, is this more important than the man eater shark
your flapper?
So you know, people are turning in for the man eater shark.
I had to go get a mammogram.
Okay.
Mammogram.
Is that
everybody should get them?
That's when they send you a message, isn't it, Colonel? Through breast.
It is. But she.
I can't laugh that hard.
That would be a great idea.
Would be a great idea. Send a woman over, have her writing all over her boobs, have her take her shirt off.
It's a mammogram.
We need to do that.
Yeah, that's a
I call dibs on the invention.
Write that down.
I think I just created. What the fuck? I just said it.
He's going, no, but you threw out the general idea. I filled in the details, so we're partners on this.
I'm the one with the boobs.
You're gonna be the person going out to the other.
Well, I don't know if we need all that, but I had to.
No, because we can send long messages with yours.
So I write a
this
novel,
fucker, man. Yeah.
War and Peace.
Right. So I had to get a mammogram, which I encourage everybody to do more often than me, because it'd been 2 years since I had mine. And so I go, and let me just say, they should always. Always, always have chunky girls that give mammograms.
Why is that?
Because there is nothing worse in this world than being a chunky girl and then walking in with this little 110-pound girl with an A cup going, okay, so we're just going to lift your breast up right here. And if you could, I'm just going to move your nipple just a little bit to the, okay, right here. Lift with your knees, honey, because you're not getting... Come on, I got you.
Did she put one up on the little shoulder?
She had to put on her back brace. I mean, and it was this whole thing, and then she wants to tell me the step-by-step. You know what I don't need when I'm having my tit squished on a fucking microscope slide? Is I don't need the play-by-play. I don't need you just slap that titty up there and x-ray it and be fucking done. I don't want to chit-chat about my kids. I don't want to chit-chat about the state of my nipples. I don't want to chit-chat about any of that. I'm not in the mood to chit-chat with you.
Well, okay, but just so our listeners, because you opened this line of question.
I did not open a line of question.
Our listeners are going
to get your mammograms
They
done,
want to
ladies.
Know about the state
get
of your
them
nipples.
Done.
What did they comment on your nipples?
She said they were just perfect.
Perfect nipples.
Perfect.
Hmm.
And my husband says the same thing.
Hmm.
So,
well, let's get back to this idea that I had just invented a mammogram and fucking Thomas Edison over here trying to steal my idea.
I'm just saying it's an idea because, you know, we could get Amber and the CBG girls on board with this.
I'm just saying, get some chunky girls to fucking lift them tig old bitties up there. I don't know how.
Tig old bitties?
Yeah. I'm not sure how little boobed girls get that shit done, because they have to like press and pull and
They talk about you after you leave.
Oh, I know they talk about me after. Like the ladies that do my nails. Oh, I know they're talking about me in English, though. They're talking about me in English. I don't need that shit. I don't need that.
Okay.
So that was my traumatizing thing for the week.
Well, I'm sorry.
That and Noah telling me that I don't know his life.
No, it was your six-year-old.
No, it is my six-year-old, and I was talking to him, and I told him something, and he turned around and looked at me and goes, you don't know my life. So then,
well, you don't. So, stay in your lane, girl.
So then we had words.
Yeah, I guess.
And I won.
Well, I don't know.
And then the consensus was that I do, in fact, know his life.
I'd like to introduce the a man who is considered the moral compass of our podcast.
No.
He's known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
By no one.
He is often referred as an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nobody ever says that.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, I'm not good.
You were told to get that organ yanked out.
All right. You've had some health issues, Colonel.
Gallbladder accident.
Okay, and I don't want to get sued. I'm just telling you, you're taking your life into your own hands if you eat Pizza Hut sausage cheesy crust pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good choice.
Well, I not ate if that. You're having a gallbladder problem.
Well, I ate three pieces of it. I wasn't having a gallbladder problem until I ate the pizza. Then about 1 o'clock in the morning, I started to feel a little pinch, and then all of a sudden, it was like Satan was taking his fiery tool and shoving it under my rib cage into my back and just dry humping me.
But you had had this problem a couple months before.
Yeah.
And who was it that said, dude, you need to just get that shit yanked out or it's going to give you more problems? Who was it that said that?
You may have said that.
I may have said that. Yes, I did. And the other problem with your little fucking fairy tale over there that you should have gotten this done is he basically went to a veterinarian to have them look at his goddamn gallbladder.
That's
and
a
run
medical
tests
professional.
To see if they need to pull that shit out. He basically goes to the goddamn Band-Aid clinic. He went to like the little clinic inside Kroger is essentially what happened.
Did they do outpatient surgery there?
Yeah, fucking deli clerk looked at him and said he needed it pulled. So, you know, my sympathy for this, although I do feel your pain because it is very painful. It's very, very painful as those of you that have had gallbladder. And I'm going to talk a lot because I've had a lot of coffee today. Mm-hmm. But
I can't tell.
But you should have had this done a long time ago. And you shouldn't have gone to the little clinic to have them look at
no,
it.
No, I should have probably gone to a regular hospital.
You should have gone to a decent hospital that was 5 minutes further up the fucking road. Your wife told you to go there and you didn't
but
listen.
But here's the part of this that I'm just going to out my wife here, Mr. Colonel. Miss Colonel was completely drugged up when
she'd taken her Ambien.
So I wake up, she's zombie-like. She's telling me to go to a hospital that's like 10 miles away. I'm doubled up. I'm literally crawling to the car. And she's saying, no, go to the... I'm like, no, I want to go to whoever can. But you know they gave me 3 shots of morphine, didn't do nothing for me?
I know,
me.
You got to get Dilaudid. You got to get Dilaudid.
My heart rate was down to 37 beats a minute. I was like one of those old Zen masters.
I'm surprised they found your heart rate.
Me too.
But you should, and what ended up being the right thing that you should have done?
Probably had my gallbladder.
No. You should have gone to the hospital.
I should have done what Renee said.
Yes, you should have done what Renee said. Because you went to one of them little fucking West Side podunk outpatient.
No, they took me in an ambulance. They threw me in an ambulance.
1 hour photo.
Yeah. You went to a Kodak hut is basically what you did.
But the ambulance.
I don't care if they took you in an ambulance to fucking Disney World. That didn't help you.
The ambulance didn't have any medical supplies in it.
Well, no.
So I asked a guy, I'm like, are you guys really an ambulance? Or are you like Amazon delivery for human beings? Or what are you?
It was it was a Lyft.
Yeah.
They called you an Uber.
Yeah, they called me the extra large one. So I said, you know, hey, I know all my insurance is going to show up as like $1,200.
Yeah.
I want the fucking lights and sirens on. Turn on the lights and sirens. And he said, well, you have no emergent conditions.
I've got emergent conditions.
So I was like, oh. Turn on the goddamn lights and sirens or I'm going to moan and scream back here until.
And basically all the West Side ambulance carries is Narcan.
Yeah, I know. So they turned on the lights and sirens. I felt pretty good.
Did you? And you still got no.
And I went to the main hospital. Relief. And there was no doctors on duty.
And again,
this is a regular hospital.
It is not. It's a West Side hospital.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a regular hospital.
It's basically a free clinic.
It's basically if, you know, Noah and Jackson started a hospital.
Pretty much, yeah.
Out of a clubhouse. That's what that place would be.
But so, right. I see the surgeon tomorrow, and they are going to. Now, although I'm in a, you know, quite a bit of agony, I feel that our listeners deserve an episode.
Yeah, thank you, Colonel. So let's give them one.
And let's give them mammograms, Timmy.
No, let's not do that. We'll send them mammograms.
Yeah, we'll send them mammograms.
Yes. Nobody wants to see my breastises.
Fucking Tesla, and he's fucking Thomas Edison taking.
I know. All right, take credit. Just don't forget I'm the messenger.
All right. Terror on the.
I have the mammos and the grams.
Jersey Shore brandy.
Snooky.
The shark attacks of 1916.
Chuck's been attacked by a shark.
I've been bit by a shark. I know. Before. I'm sure he's going to tell us all about
it. It was actually just a little tiny leopard shark. It just bit me on my arm, but.
Damn near ripped off his leg.
No, it didn't hurt that much.
Brandy.
Bad.
Yeah.
To millions as people.
Uh huh.
New Jersey residents and visitors each summer. Snucky. Summer means a trip to the famous sun and sand of the Jersey Shore.
Oh, with the Ferris wheel and the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And Snooki.
And Taffy.
Snooki.
I don't like Taffy.
The situation.
You don't like Taffy?
I like some Taffy. I like the Taffy you buy at the store, but I don't like the sea, the kind you buy by the
You don't like saltwater Taffy?
No.
The fuck is wrong with you?
He eats Ambasol is a food group for him. Let's not.
Oh, it's very tasty.
The mint flavored.
This should be, I'm not as big on Earl gel. But Earl. It'll do in a pinch.
Earl gel?
Yeah.
Earl gel.
This tradition, Brandy.
I don't know what to do with that.
Stretches back for generations.
That is many, many years.
And in the summer of 1916, it was no different. Thousands of people flocked the beaches seeking refuge from a brutal heat wave that was hitting the West Coast.
Well, it was hotter than the sun bitch that year, Timmy.
Yeah, it was.
You know what would have helped that? Earl gel.
City dwellers, I would just like to note that Brandy is being mean to me. For everyone who says we're being mean to Brandy,
yeah, that's,
we're going to start pointing
you
out.
You know what? I'm keeping tabs here.
Yeah, get your little book of grievances
Brandy,
out.
Because she's already shot you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two.
You're not getting a mammogram.
I'm the mammos with the grams. I don't know how you could do it without me.
So, you know, all along the East Coast, New York City, Newark, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington.
He said Washington.
People sought refuge from the city heat along the beautiful Jersey Shore.
Now, is that all the Jersey Shore, or is the Jersey Shore only located in New Jersey?
Yeah, mostly New Jersey. That's the name.
Well, you were talking about
although
Washington,
the Ohio River goes in other states other than Ohio.
I don't know. So. You were talking about Washington D.C. I didn't think that.
No, I'm saying
it was down in Washington.
People from all over the East Coast flock
to the Jersey Shore.
Flock
would you
to
listen?
Jersey Shore.
Yes.
They should go to Virginia Beach.
Boy, you did drink a lot of coffee today.
Yeah, and maybe some vodka in there.
And some
don't judge me.
Amphetamines. Over a 10-day period, uh-huh. Brandy.
It's two hands.
Mm-hmm. And over a 10-day period in July of 1916, five shark attacks occurred along the New Jersey Shore.
Did they deserve it?
You're making fun of these people, but four of them died.
I'm asking if they deserve
that
it.
That tends to happen when a shark
starts. Well, one of them survived. One was just seriously injured. Okay.
You know, I have a deal with aquatic life. I stay out of your home. You stay out of mine.
I wish we would have done this before she went on vacation.
We live in harmony.
While she was on vacation.
We live in harmony, so I don't have to see sharks and have them.
I don't go into water where I can't see my feet.
I don't. I went snorkeling in Hawaii one time.
Does this got anything to do with sharks?
Yes. I went snorkeling in Hawaii one time, and, you know, you can hear... Because you're not very deep underwater, so you can hear people talking. And I was snorkeling, and my dad yelled, "Hey, look, there's a baby shark." I got the fuck up out of there because you know mama's not far behind. I was gone. Fuck that noise. Okay, can you continue, please?
Thank you, Brandy. This extraordinary cluster of attacks.
Cluster five.
Five attacks.
Was almost certainly the inspiration for the novel and then later the movie Jaws.
Is it confirmed or is that your conjecture?
It's both.
It's confirmed, your.
Okay.
So five attacks, right? Since reporting started, there have been an average of 70 shark attacks reported against human beings worldwide each year.
You know, it's the shark attack. I call it the shark attack phenomena. If you get a cute little girl,
did you know he had a name for it?
I do. There's 70 shark attacks.
Who thought of that
every year? But let a cute little curly-haired kid walk into the water and get bit by a shark, and it gets on the news. Then every shark attack gets on the news, and you think the shark attacks are on the rise, when in fact sharks are just biting people at a regular rate. So it's just shark attack. So you get in your head, oh, I can't go to the beach because sharks are biting you everywhere. But it's just they're biting at a normal rate. There's no spike in shark attacks.
Oh, I can go to the beach because I don't get in their home.
Despite their relative rarity.
The what?
Relative rarity of the attacks. Many people fear shark attacks after there's been a series of attacks. So one or two stories get reported and then people freak out.
They're getting a little closer
it's
to the
shark
shore,
attack
though.
Phenomena.
They're getting a little closer to the shore though.
Out of 489 shark species, only three are responsible for attacks on humans.
Great whites.
The great white.
Hammerhead.
Nope.
Bull sharks.
Bull sharks.
Nurse sharks.
And tiger sharks.
Tiger sharks.
Yeah.
What the fuck's a nurse shark?
A nurse shark. They're slow and they're stumbly.
Does that attach to you and suck?
I wish.
They're slow. They eat humans. They just can't catch them.
Yeah. They would eat a human if only.
They don't have real good eyesight and they tend to get in shallow water and people tend to stumble upon them and they get bit. Because that's how sharks taste their food.
Yeah, but that's not.
But they usually don't kill people. They just bite you once and then, you taste like shit, I'm moving on.
Well, that's not the case. As he said, there's three.
According to the International Shark Attack File, did you know that they were an international?
Is that like the X-Files?
It's ISAF. ISAF.
Nice.
ISAF.
Between 1958 and.
They need rebranded.
2016. That's our latest data. I don't have it yet up to this year. There were 2,785 confirmed unprovoked shark attacks. Now, okay, you go around and slap a shark. You can't blame the shark.
Some stupid frat boys that do that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, check this out. Hold my beer.
Exactly.
Mama is so ugly.
I'm going to go slap this motherfucker right here. Get off my beach. Get off my beach.
Right. You know.
So out of 2,785 confirmed unprovoked shark attacks around the world in 2000, between 1958 and 2016, 439 were fatal. So you got a fair chance to survive a shark attack.
Yeah, punch him in the nose.
I'm not sure what really counts as unprovoked, because sharks may have different sets of manners and customs than we do.
Mm-hmm. They're ill-mannered, quite frankly.
Well, maybe they think we're ill-mannered coming out into their home. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like if you're a shark and you've got this little, my little, square acre of water.
Uh-huh.
We're basically burglars.
We are.
So if a shark, now if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, fucking shark come walking up on my sidewalk,
it's going to be just like the raccoon.
Land shark. Yeah, I'm going to put him down. And then people are going to be talking about an unprovoked shark attack on sharks. No, it's not unprovoked. He was on my porch.
It is. Land sharks do that.
So just like us.
Do.
We got in there. We got in their little, shark bar. We got in there, whatever. And we weren't invited. The little shark club.
And
the shark wedding. We crashed it.
Yeah. And you know what? Half the time when we go in there, you know what we want to do? We want to pierce them with stuff.
Well, what happens is people.
I don't want people holding me down and piercing me.
And people pee in their home.
They do.
They do. Somebody at least.
Yes.
Somebody come walking up on my
porch.
You
think they do number two?
Oh, I think they do number two.
Not salt water.
Oh, I think people do number two all the time.
They get all up in your business.
Yeah.
You can do number one without even taking your trunks down.
Well, you may be able to do number two by just pulling them to the side. I don't know. But I would be pissed if a bunch of sharks held me down and, like, pierced my ears. And what are we doing? We're going in, and we're tagging them, and we're piercing their fins. And it's bullshit.
All right. So in 2016.
So you're a sharks' rights advocate.
She is.
Sharks' rights advocate.
Not really. I'm just saying.
She has mutual respect for the sharks.
We have a mutual understanding.
All right. 2016, there were 81 shark attacks worldwide, which is on par with the most recent five-year period. So they're not growing, as you might imagine.
When this story's boring.
By contrast, nothing gets better when it gets out of my part.
Okay.
By contrast, 98 shark. There were 98 shark attacks in 2015. That's the highest yearly on record. 2015 was not a good year for swimmers.
Coming closer to shore, though.
Yeah.
It's global warming.
But see, they're not, and then we'll get into that. We'll get into that. They don't hunt humans for food.
No. But they come in looking for food, and then they look like, you know, people out there look like seals.
There were four fatalities in 2016. That's lower than the average of eight per year between 2011 and 2015. So, you know, they're not on the rise. Feeding is not usually the reason sharks attack humans. In fact, humans do not provide enough high-fat meat for sharks.
I think that depends on who they buy.
It depends on human, yeah.
Which they need for energy and power. There's just not enough calories for them, and humans just don't provide enough calories. We're a low-calorie snack.
Yeah, but you think they know that?
Apparently.
I'm just going to eat this and then move on to a, you know, beluga whale.
A shark will normally make one swift attack and then retreat to wait for the victim to die or weaken from shock or loss of blood before returning to feed. And that's allowed humans to get away.
Punch them in the nose.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't. Yeah, I think, I don't know.
Punch a motherfucker in the nose.
While sharks have been seen.
I'd be like Jesus running on top of the water.
In history, sharks have been seen as harmless to the general public up until 1916. And that is when the pendulum started to swing on public opinion, where people started to see sharks as these vicious man-eaters.
Vicious man-eaters. Oh, whoa, here she comes.
There he goes.
Watch out, boy. He'll chew you up. Oh, whoa, here it comes. Okay. It's a man-eater.
Brandy, won't you tell us about the shark attacks for 1916
would forever be remembered in New Jersey and beyond as the summer of the Matawan man-eater.
Man-eater. Ooh.
Man-eater. She's a man-eater.
25-year-old Charles.
Are you a big fan of Hall & Oates, Colonel?
I'm a big fan of Oates, Timmy.
Not Hall.
I don't like Hall. He hogged the spotlights.
Which one is which? Which one has the
Oates is
hair?
A little guy.
Oates is a little dark, curly-haired guy with the porn stash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy who did. Hall was always out in the limelight, but Oates was the guy who really was just driving that group, Timmy.
Sort of like me in this group.
I would say, yeah, you're the Oates of this group.
Thank
Timmy.
You, Colonel. Continue, Brandy. What songs do they sing?
Porn stash.
What's your favorite?
Stop. No. Why are we celebrating their entire catalog? I have the CD. I can bring it in. I am a Hall & Oates fan.
You are?
Yeah.
I like She's Gone.
I like
one,
She's Gone.
One less toothbrush in what?
Sarah Smile.
I don't She's like
Sarah
Smile.
She's a bitch
Smile.
Girl, and she gone too far, because you know it
rich
don't
girl.
Matter anyway.
Rich girl.
Well, bitch girl.
But that no, song it's is a bitch girl. That song is about some guy's relationship with his dad. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought about it was about a girl, yeah. But it's not really about a girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even
right,
though they
fun,
say,
fun
she's
fact.
A rich girl, and it gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway.
You can rely on your old man's
money. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely. I sound like the Pips, man.
So you
old man
Pimplicious.
Money, it's a bitch, girl.
I didn't catch
and
on from our last podcast
far,
when we called him Pimplicious.
You know it don't matter anyway.
It doesn't need to.
I was hoping that would catch on. People would start calling you Pimplicious.
Pimplicious.
No.
The Colonel Pimplicious now.
All right, Brandy. Tell us about 1960.
Listen, Sicky McGallbladder. Just sit over there and be quiet. 25-year-old Charles Epting Van Zandt of Philadelphia.
Nice name.
There mm-hmm. you go. Was one of many tourists who arrived at Beach Haven, New Jersey on July 1st looking for a good time in the summer sun.
Well, who among us yeah.
is not?
Yeah.
Hot down somewhere in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
Oh, I thought that next
my
line
dad was always used to say dirty and shitty.
I thought it was titty.
On the back
never
of your
seen
neck?
A shadow in the titty.
Well, it's like if you twist Barbie's head around. I mean, if you would do that. I don't know anyone that's ever done that.
Did kids. You have any sisters?
No. No.
Why'd you have a goddamn Barbie in the house?
I remember once. I must have been like one. And I remember, you know, my cousin was my same age. And it was a girl. Sandy's her name. And she had all these dolls. And I wanted a doll when I was like one. My dad was so fucking pissed that I wanted a doll. Of course, when I got it, I just tore its head off. And, you know.
Okay, Dama.
There you go.
Staying. That explains a lot.
Right.
Then he wanted a puppy next.
Then some matches. Bic yeah. lighter. Continue, Brandy.
Staying
Continue.
With family in the posh Ingleside Hotel overlooking the beach.
Oh, that's a nice hotel.
Oh, it is posh.
He decided to go for a quick swim before dinner. An experienced swimmer, Van Zandt, dived in with his dog and immediately swam for deeper waters. But the dog abruptly turned around and could not be persuaded back in.
No, fuck
yeah. That dog's fuck you, dude.
Dogs can smell sharks.
Well,
I don't want to fucking bone that much.
Yeah. Undeterred by his pet's strange behavior, Van Zandt continued enjoying his swim before deciding it was time to go back to shore.
See, if your dog is too scared to do something, yeah. listen to your dog.
Especially if it's one of those stupid dogs that'll do anything. Let's see. The beach was crowded that day, and what Van Zandt could not see on his return trip was the large triangular fin emerging from the water around him. Probably couldn't hear the music either. Yeah, he probably couldn't hear that.
No, because the dog was barking. Get the fuck out of the water. Ruff, ruff.
Onlookers screamed, but their warnings could not compete with the sound of the surf around.
I'm trying to build up the suspense.
I don't need that.
We can edit that in later, Timmy.
Yes.
You looking at boobs on your phone, Timmy?
No, I can't. No, I'll tell you
later.
No,
he's probably got Poo Nanny on it.
No. It's a message from Rachel. She said, Rachel's, you know, HanaVision's. They got like 50 positive reviews. Mm-hmm. It's got one negative. And Rachel can't let it go. No, she's really upset. Mm-hmm. Rachel, it's okay, sweetie.
Oh,
yeah, she's
quit
upset.
Reading them.
Yeah.
Let's see. So their warnings could not compete with the sound of the surf around him. And less than 10 feet from shore, the unthinkable happened. Van Zandt's left leg was suddenly crushed in the jaws of a massive shark. One of the first people to dash into the now dark red water was lifeguard Alexander Ott, who was probably thinking, they don't pay me enough for this shit. Yeah. Who grabbed Van Zandt's arm.
I just thought I'd, you know, check out the ladies, you know.
Yeah. Kick I just sit up here with a whistle.
Working on my tan.
Let's see. He
grabbed
his arm.
Oh, you know, 1916, that's when they had those swimsuits down to the ankles
yeah.
and shit.
Oh, yeah. Those were hot.
Yeah.
Look like a convict.
You know, no, they used to, you know, they'd have like the police that would come out and measure mm-hmm. to make sure you
measure
didn't want
the ladies.
Yeah, weren't showing too much skin.
Okay.
They should do that now.
Yeah. So,
because ladies, I'm just going to, can I just give a public service announcement? Just because you can fit in a bikini doesn't mean you should wear a bikini.
Yeah.
Because you go to the beach, and we usually go to Lake Michigan, and you will see some 75-year-old women strolling about in bikinis.
You know, that goes for men, too, because
men should not wear bikinis.
Or Speedos.
Or Speedos.
Yeah.
Unless, Speedos are bad. I can't even wear a Speedo. I can't even, not in my junk.
You're not the standard by which Speedo wearers are judged.
No. I mean, I try to put on a Speedo, it ain't going to, that's like putting a 10-pound ham in a 2-pound bag.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah. I wear jeans to the beach.
Of course you do.
Continue, Brandy.
Cut-off jeans or regular jeans?
No, regular jeans.
Cut off right up them hot pants jeans.
You know that's right.
Tobias.
Cheeks coming out the bottom.
Yeah. I don't like the beach. I'm not a big fan of the beach.
All right. So anyway, Alexander goes in, he grabs Van Zandt's arm, and tries to pull him to shore, only to discover that the shark still had a hold of his leg.
Oh, they're in a tug of war.
More people joined in and finally wrestled him free from the beast.
See, and that's where you decide. There's where the rubber hits the road, Colonel. Who wants that leg more?
Well, they drug him to the shore where his mortal injuries became obvious. Most of Van Zandt's left leg was gone.
See, now they got the femoral artery in.
His femoral artery was severed. He was rushed to the hotel.
Why didn't they put a tourniquet on his ass?
He was rushed to the hotel, which is just about...
So he could order room service. Well, it was basically what I did with my gallbladder.
Yeah. It was across the street is why.
I don't give a fuck. There could have been a Ron John's across the street. They're going to take him there.
They have to take him someplace.
Yeah.
When they leave him on the beach.
How about a hospital? Just throwing that out there.
I'm sure that they discussed it.
There's no time to discuss shit. All right, so he's rushed to the hotel where his family was staying, and he was treated by his father, who happened to be a doctor.
All right.
But lucky
despite
for him.
Right.
That's a good luck, bad luck day for him.
But despite all efforts, he bled and died in the hotel's front on the hotel's front desk.
Well, that's some bullshit right there.
Leaving Beach Haven in a state of shock. I bet they got charged for that shit,
I
too.
I bet they... Somebody got to clean all that shit up. I mean, why couldn't they lay him on the floor?
Or outside, where you just hose him off.
Where you can just hose down.
You think when they laid him on the desk, they rang that little bell?
Yeah. You know they rang the little bell.
Oh, no, that's sad. That guy died. We shouldn't make fun of him.
News reports of the attack were met with opposition. Didn't happen. Fake news.
I don't know what you're
it's
talking about.
It's bullshit.
Well, that's because all the, you know, the
man did want the tourists to go home.
Despite the Van Zandt incident, beaches along the Jersey Shore remained open. Sightings of large sharks swarming off the coast of New Jersey were reported by sea captains entering the ports of Newark in New York City, but were dismissed.
Arr, matey, there be big sharks in the water. Arr.
It's much like iceberg warnings.
Yeah.
There had never been reports of a shark attack on American shores, and many papers downgraded the incident, saying Van Zandt had been killed by a large fish.
Large catfish.
It was a large fish with big teeth.
Yeah. A large fish that could be a shark.
Shark. Is it shark officially a fish? We know that, or is it not?
What else would it be?
I don't know.
Let me get to crack research.
Or, here we go. This is better. He was killed by a large fish or bitten by a sea turtle. A sea turtle.
Fucking sea. You got to watch out for those fucking.
Ripped off his leg.
You got to watch out for sea turtle. You don't play with a sea turtle.
They don't rip off your leg.
No, but they can hold that motherfucker for 100 years.
I've never seen a bloodthirsty sea turtle.
Remember they say they'd hold it until it rained? If they snapped you, if they catch you when they're snapped.
Snapping turtles hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, sharks are a fish to me.
All right. I just, you know, there's going to be some smart ass out there to say, oh, it's not a fish, it's a mammal or some shit like that. And I was like,
yeah. That's where you snap them in
the
head.
Here's the thing. So they weren't lying. They just said he was attacked by a large fish.
Well,
that had a fin and lots of teeth.
Lots of sharp teeth, yeah.
And weird music played when his fin came up. Dun. Believing the event at Beach Haven was a freak accident, by July 6th, no one thought twice about swimming in the ocean, especially 45 miles north in Spring Lake, New Jersey.
There's actually a big debate on Yahoo Answers whether a shark is a fish or a mammal. So my question wasn't that.
Yeah, it's not. But you know what? People on Yahoo Answers, they would just throw any shit out there.
I know.
It's like Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Or Chuckapedia.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. If you say it with enough conviction, it's got to be true.
25-year-old Charles Bruder was definitely not afraid of a shark attack.
I ain't afraid of no goddamn sharks.
He was a skilled swimmer and often boasted that he was unafraid of the beasts.
He's a badass motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. He's unafraid of the beast with two backs.
Badass. That's what I'm saying.
Bruder worked, and this is why he's a badass. Bruder worked as a bellhop.
Oh, yeah, what?
You know, bellhops are underappreciated.
They are underappreciated. And you don't even hardly see them anymore.
And they don't hop very often. You ever notice that?
They don't have a bell.
And they don't hop.
I don't even know where they get the name, bellhop. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
But why don't they call them luggage boys?
You should be able to ring a bell and watch them hop.
How about
that
this?
I would pay for.
How about this? He was a porter.
Okay.
There you go. In the Essex and Sussex Hotel. and often spend his afternoon breaks swimming far out into the sea.
Why would you spend your breaks swimming?
I don't know. Why don't you just go out back and smoke like everyone else?
Or watch porn or something.
Whatever. Well, because I don't think that. I think you had to work for it back then.
Right. Yeah.
The afternoon of July 6th was no different, and Bruder swam out into the ocean, enjoying his break, when at approximately 1,000 yards... Oh, when approximately... Okay, about 1,000 yards out, the monster tore into him.
Ooh. A man-eater.
It's a man-eater. Oh, here she comes. Okay, the scene was so violent that onlookers initially believed that a man in a red canoe was in distress and in need of help, unaware that there was no red canoe. The red was Bruder's blood staining the water around him.
Little red canoe.
If your wife tells you that there's a red canoe,
I'll come back next week.
Little red canoe.
Lifeguards rowed out to the bellhop
and a canoe, I bet.
And pulled him into the boat, surprised at how light he was.
Because he didn't have.
It was not until he was fully in the boat that they realized his light weight was due to both of his legs being bitten off, in addition to a gaping wound in his abdomen, which means his entrails were gone.
That is a that is an effective weight loss.
It is it's an effective strategy. Weight loss regime.
Bruder laid at the bottom of the boat, dying, but was able to give a brief account of the attack. Very brief.
Was his account, ow, motherfucker?
Right.
Ow.
Shit ow. Hurt.
Yeah.
I really don't
feel like talking right now.
These were the last words of Charles Bruder. He died before reaching shore. The bottom of the boat was filled with Bruder's blood and internal organs.
Ugh.
Now, they can hose that out.
Well, they could just...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tip the canoe over.
Right.
I mean, it might draw more sharks. See, this is what I don't get. Now, a shark can smell blood in the water. How far away, they say?
Like 10 miles.
I don't know.
10 miles? But they let menstruating women go on the beach. Don't you think that menstruating women are just shark bait?
Are the sharks going to come up on the beach?
Into the water. And then happens?
There isn't a shark bad enough to want to mess with a menstruating woman.
But the problem, menstruating.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Here's the problem, Timmy.
No, wait a minute.
They come up on them women and they're like, "Oh, fuck that," and then they bite you.
Wait a minute.
I see.
See,
we need to stew on the menstruating women for just a minute.
Hold on, let me put Brandy being mean again.
In your book. Is this your book of grievances?
It is. So far, it's Brandy being mean three times.
And you really have a book of grievances, girl.
I do. Yeah, I do. Tim being mean zero times.
For our listeners who don't know, the Colonel has a little white book.
Mm-hmm. It's a little white notebook that says the Colonel's list of grudges.
Yes.
For when people... Now, but see, my point being, the menstruating women stroll out into the pool, right?
While they're administrating.
In the ocean.
While they're administrating.
While they're administrating what? Oh my God, fucker, shut up.
So no,
I gotta get this
done.
It's
a true fact.
It's a true fact.
More men get killed by bears because of menstruating women than any other reason.
Why men get killed by bears?
Menstruating women.
Hold my beer. Watch this. That motherfucker is not tougher than me. Hang on to this for a second.
I wonder why people got a master's degree in public administration.
Yeah.
It always seems to be gross to me.
So
public administration.
I wouldn't study that shit. Would you?
No. No, it's nasty. So anyway,
it's part of nature. I mean, it's you know, I understand all that. It's just mean.
The
I
two
wouldn't
of you
look.
Are just.
But here's what
about,
I don't get.
Why
I go
are
down
you
to
still
the beach?
Talking?
I can't take my goddamn dog in the water, but a big old shark bait can go strolling right into the water with a scent it whatever and think, oh, the shark's not going to smell this from 10 miles away. But then the shark come in, he eat me,
eat my dog. Are you talking about the lake?
I wonder why we get comments about us making sexist remarks in the podcast.
I mean, are you talking about the lake? Because there's not a lot of sharks at the fucking lake.
Oh, wait till we get into the story.
You don't know this. You do not know this.
I said not a lot.
Okay. They're crocodiles?
I mean, clearly, well, there are crocodiles, and clearly if a Sharknado happens up and then, you know, drop sharks in the lake.
You know, it could have happened with Irma.
I heard. People were shooting at Irma.
Yeah.
Well.
What else are you going to do?
Good thing we had that sci-fi documentary. Sharknado. All right. Unlike the first attack at Beach Haven, the death in Spring Lake engulfed the area in panic. The media's response to the second attack was much more sensational. Major American newspapers such as the Boston Herald, Chicago Sun-Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Washington Post, and San Francisco Chronicle placed the story on the front page. The New York Times headline read, "Shark Kills Bather Off Jersey." I assume it's supposed to say beach, but it says bay. So whatever.
Could be a bay. Could be a beach.
B-E-A.
Okay, could be a combination.
I'm going with beach.
A beach and bay.
B-A-H. That's like the shark coming in like, hey, bay.
Is that? Yeah. That's kind of what I figured.
You my bay. I'm going to eat you.
All right. Here's one of our reviews.
Why are you doing this right
Sometimes
now?
Sometimes I cringe at the sexist comments that come out of Tim's and Chuck's mouth. We cringe too.
Yeah, we fucking cringe. Idiots. Anyway, so
to appreciate the podcast, you got to kind of think of Stephen Colbert. We don't really believe the shit that we say.
Newspapers went into a frenzy, and people demanded explanations from scientists and authorities, asking if it really was a shark and how could this possibly happen off the coast of New Jersey.
Because there's sharks there.
Because there's an ocean.
Yeah, where they expect Midtown Manhattan. I
mean, resorts close their beaches.
Don't happen in Nebraska a lot that you get bit by a shark. Okay, you get bit by a shark in the beach.
Right. Resorts closed their beaches and encircled swimming areas in mesh, hoping to entice visitors back into the water, but the damage was done.
Oh, that's a smart move right there, Colonel.
The summer surf of the Jersey Shore was suddenly vacant. News of the shark attacks remained fresh in the minds of New Jersey residents, including those living in Matawan, New Jersey. Unlike many of the other parts of the state, the people there were not following the lead of many other towns and instilling precautions against sharks. Matawan. They were giving the sharks the finger in Matawan.
You can kiss my ass, shark.
And why would they? Matawan, New Jersey lay 15 miles inland and was connected to the ocean by the freshwater Matawan Creek. The idea of a shark attack in the shallow freshwater of Matawan seemed insane to everyone, including Thomas Cottrell. Have we noticed that these are all men that are getting attacked?
Continue.
But they're somewhere around. You heard the saying, behind every man bitten by a shark is a ministrating woman.
Kicked him in the water.
Yeah.
Armed with his background gained during his time as a sea capitan, the retired Cottrell felt certain there were no chance of a shark even coming remotely close to Matawan, let alone another attack occurring there. However, everything he knew was tested on July 12th, when, while walking across a trolley bridge, he spotted what he knew for a fact was a large shark swimming inland up the waterway. Panicking, Cottrell immediately ran to notify Matawan authorities, who dismissed his claim. See?
You know, he was running, his arms are flailing. There's a shark!
Shark!
And nah.
It's a fucking river. This guy.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of here.
Fucking shark in the water, in the lake, in the river.
You know
just
what?
My ass.
And all bad things happen when somebody tries to fucking report it, and the people in charge go, "This guy, get the fuck out of here!
This guy, this fucking shark, the fucking river,
get the fuck out of here!"
Yeah. And then they beat his ass for telling a lie. Yeah.
This motherfucker is a
shark. Get your ass back down the river.
Knowing what he saw and the danger facing anyone in the water, Cottrell climbed into a small boat and began heading up the creek to warn everyone. One, rowing like a motherfucker.
I tell you, and his arms are flailing as he's rowing.
He's a rowing like a motherfucker.
Hold on. I bet he's approaching a bunch of little kids playing in the river.
One person who did not hear Cottrell's warning was 11-year-old Lester Stillwell.
Told you.
Who was swimming in the creek with some friends near the Wyckoff Dock about 2 p.m. that afternoon. Friends of Stillwell were playing happily when he was abruptly pulled under the surface and the water began to turn a sickly red color. Not bothering to get their clothes on, the boys ran into town screaming that Lester was attacked by a shark.
In the river.
Thinking it was impossible.
They didn't believe these kids, probably, either.
Well, probably.
Bunch of naked kids running into town.
Well, I don't know that they were naked. They probably just had their swimmy trunks on.
No, they said not bothering to get their clothes.
But they probably had swim trunks on. They didn't put on their T-shirts or their shoes and socks or shorts or change clothes. Anyway, I don't think they were running. I don't think they were streaking.
They could have been skinny dipping.
I don't think they were streaking through the quad. Thinking it was impossible for there to be a shark in Matawan, the cries of the boys went greatly unanswered until they were heard by 24-year-old businessman Stanley Fisher. A beloved resident of Matawan, Fisher ran to the creek, hoping that, shark attack or not, the young Stillwell could be saved from whatever had taken place in the water. However, the scene when he arrived told him otherwise. Bloody and churned, the water made it clear that the young boy was lost.
Oh, poor kid.
Fisher now had a new objective, to return the body of young Lester to his family.
Oh.
You got to find that shark and split it open.
Mm-hmm.
A search commenced in the hot sun, and after probing the water with poles from inside a boat proved unsuccessful, Fisher jumped into the creek, perhaps still not fully convinced that a shark was the cause of the chaos. On his last dive underwater, Fisher found Lester Stillwell's half-eaten body, and he began shouting for assistance. Ugh. The shouts quickly turned to screams when the shark sank its teeth into Fisher's right thigh.
God.
The two struggled in the water, and Fisher was eventually able to break free from the beast and be taken to shore.
Hope they didn't take him back to the hotel.
He was well.
No, I mean, he's probably, Believe me now?
He was alive. However, all the flesh had been torn from his thigh and his arteries were severed. Mm. Despite every attempt to help him, he died on the operating table at Monmouth Memorial Hospital in Long Beach, New Jersey at 8 p.m. that evening. His last words were heard by his doctors. He told them he had done his duty and he'd gotten Lester away from the shark.
That's a brave man right there.
Yeah. That is a brave man.
Yeah. Motherfucker gonna go jump down, say, I'm getting a body, then run across a shark, and then say, fuck you, I'm getting his body.
Especially when you know, you know that you're not.
He jumped into shark-infested waters, and he knew it.
Yeah.
The horrors at Matawan Creek were far from over, and less than an hour after the attack on Fisher, the shark would strike again. Totally unaware of the carnage less than 1 mile away, brothers Joseph and Michael Dunn and friends were cooling off in the water. A man named Jacob Lefferts warned the boys of the attacks, and they began to swim to shore. 12-year-old Joseph was only 10 feet from shore when the monster clamped down on his left leg.
Ugh.
Dunn fought back, and with the help of Jacob and his brother, he was able to make it back to land. Most of the flesh had gone from his leg, but miraculously, no bones were broken, and the major arteries were intact. Dunn would lose his leg, but he would be the only survivor of the Matawan shark attacks.
Okay, Colonel, tell us what happens next, if you would. Brandy, pay attention.
Why?
Well, tell me about this time.
Mm-hmm.
A nicely dressed black man.
Okay.
In a nice suit.
Okay.
Showed up.
All right.
And said, I want these motherfucking sharks off my motherfucking beach.
I don't think that happened. Did he say that? That is my favorite line from any movie.
Get these motherfucking sharks off my motherfucking
beach. I watched
that
on a flight back from Manila. I'm like, why are they showing this on an airline? But it was good. All right, so we had a little break here. We had a strange occurrence happen. Brandy, you want to explain what happened?
There's a janitor in the building, and Chuck went to go see if he could take out his gallbladder.
So we're going to continue on without the colonel. for the time being.
Sorry for those of you that love the Colonel and are in the Colonel's crew or the bad boys of the Colonel or the secret sauce of the Colonel or whatever the hell you want to call yourselves.
Tell it. Let's finish the story about the sharks.
All right. So as the national media descended on Beach Haven, Spring Lake, and Matawan, the Jersey Shore attacks started a shark panic. Families' vacations were destroyed. Stores and hotels closed. Beaches and bodies of water lay empty, and everyone tried to comprehend the chaos that enveloped the region. Scientists had reluctantly confirmed that the injuries were consistent with shark attacks, and the hunt was on for the beast, with patrol boats manning the coast and hefty rewards offered for each shark killed. Local and national reaction to the fatalities involved a wave of panic that led to shark hunts aimed at eradicating the population of man-eating sharks and protecting the economies of New Jersey's seaside community.
Can you say that three times real fast?
No.
Oh, okay.
Resort towns enclosed their public beaches with steel nets to protect swimmers. The town of Matawan, stunned by the gruesome and unlikely attacks, was out for revenge. So they gathered their pitchforks and
they
torches.
They were after the shark. I don't blame them.
Matawan Mayor Aris B. Henderson ordered the Matawan Journal to print wanted posters, offering a $100 reward.
What? It's like a picture of the shark on it?
Or? Yeah, I guess.
Dead or alive.
Exactly. With a $100 reward, which is $2,200 in today's money, to anyone killing a shark in the creek. The people of Matawan became obsessed with vengeance against this evil creature. Despite the town's efforts, no sharks were captured or killed in Matawan Creek. Some of the townspeople industriously...
It's weird how that shark got up, you know, in the creek and into the river.
I don't know how it could have lived, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know they could live in fresh water.
Not very long, I would guess. I don't know. Maybe there's probably some species that can. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. So, I love this because this is just some shit that would happen, you know, here. Some of the townspeople industriously filled the creek with dynamite.
There you go.
Yeah. Hoping to blast the shark into oblivion.
That's when you find, like, old license plates and army boots and...
And you have a fish fry because clearly it's going to be raining fish for the next little bit.
It's raining fish.
This dramatic effort proved unsuccessful.
What did they think of? Some shark was going to be blown out of the water. It's worth a try, I guess.
Back on the coast, the greatest shark hunt in the state's history. Shark hunt in his...
You have to be careful how you say that.
Was underway. Although no one knew the species or its size, blind retribution would be swift. That's never happened. Hundreds of sharks were caught and slaughtered. Resort communities along the Jersey Shore petitioned the federal government to aid local efforts to protect the beaches and hunt sharks. The House of Representatives appropriated $5,000, or $110,000 in today's money, for eradicating the New Jersey shark threat, and President Woodrow Wilson scheduled a meeting with his cabinet to discuss the fatal attacks.
Yeah, I mean, it was costing the local community a lot of money, so it became a big deal.
The East Coast shark hunt was described as the largest scale animal hunt in history, besides Bigfoot.
Well,
yeah. Witnesses of the Beach Haven fatality...
But is Bigfoot an animal, man, or beast?
Well, we don't know.
Well, then we don't know it was an animal hunt.
Well, I think we can safely assume that it can be termed an animal hunt, and then once we catch and collect data...
You know what bothers me about Bigfoot?
Let me tell you. Okay.
They're taking Bigfoot. It's Yetis are taking jobs away from the average American working man or woman. Those jobs that...
There's a difference between a Yeti and a Bigfoot. I'm just saying.
Well, Yeti, Bigfoot, smart whatever. They're taking away American jobs. That's what I'm saying.
You should definitely bring that. You should write a strongly worded letter.
I'm drafting it as we speak.
Well, good. Dumbass. Let's see.
This podcast goes surprisingly smooth without Chuck around.
It really does. Witnesses to the Beach Haven fatality estimated the shark was 9 feet long.
Hmm.
A sea captain.
I wonder if that's like a guy, you know, guys talking about his junk.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
a sea captain who saw the event with his one good eye that didn't have a patch on it believed it was a Spanish shark named Frederico.
Did it have an accent?
Well, it had a little mustache. What happened there? Driven from the Caribbean Sea decades earlier by bombings during the Spanish-American War. What the fuck? Kind of bullshit.
That seems a stretch.
This guy's just making shit. Oh, you want to ask me a question? Let me get my parrot and my patch. We'll just hook this shit up.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt ran this this shark away from Cuba back in 98.
Yeah, back in Nam. So, just so everybody knows, Charles has now decided to come and join us.
So, did you have your gallbladder taken out by the janitor?
You know, Timmy, they talk about a 7-day recovery period, but the colonel, he just needed 10 minutes.
I
told him just give me a cup of water, I'd be fine.
That janitor is far more qualified than the dipshits you saw over the weekend. All right, so
we're happy that you're back, Colonel.
And I'm just going to get your take on this because this makes me laugh. So I'm going to rehash something. So a sea captain who saw the event believed it was a Spanish shark.
Well, yes, it was. You could tell the Spanish sharks.
Was it you? Were you the sea captain at the time?
No,
the shark talked with a funny accent.
Well, that's why I said, did it have a mustache?
It had a little curly mustache. It was doing the mamba.
Same was Frederico. driven from the Caribbean Sea.
I just want to point out that my girlfriend is Hispanic, and we love our Hispanic listeners.
Except for the Hispanic sharks.
Yeah, we don't like them.
We do not like them.
They're dicks, evidently.
Well, just one.
Decades earlier.
Are you concerned about the Yetis and Bigfoots taking American jobs?
Well, you know, Timmy, here's the thing. Yetis and Bigfoots are doing jobs that Americans won't do.
I see. What is that? What jobs are those?
Well, I mean, running naked through the forest.
Oh, Americans will do that
shit. Leaving big footprints.
You can't swing a dead cat without finding a frat boy that'll run naked through the forest.
Yeah, but they leave that scent behind.
I got to talk. I'm talking about the Spanish shark here.
All right, okay. Continue, Brandy.
He was driven out decades earlier by bombings during the Spanish-American War.
But
this
guy's
just making shit up.
Well, apparently he liked American food, though.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So several fishermen claim to have caught the Jersey man-eater in the days following the attack.
It's a man-eater.
Now, see, they're just claiming every shark they catch.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the man-eater right here. Here he is.
You can tell he's Spanish. A blue shark was captured on July 14th near Long Beach. And 4 days later, the same Thomas Cottrell, who had seen the shark in the Matawan Creek, claimed to have captured a sandbar shark with a gill net near the mouth of the creek.
A sandbar shark. They're not very big, are they?
Well, they're drunk most of the time.
Yeah.
They're like lounge lizards. Like,
hey, baby, have I seen you here before?
That's right. They're
come
drunk
here
most
often.
Of the time. They're easy to catch. Well, all right, Charles.
Now, Timmy, you had two men come involved here. Uh-huh. These men had no intention of hunting a shark.
All right.
And they were Michael Schleiser. He was a 40-year-old former lion tamer and big game hunter.
I like that, Brandy.
And his friend.
Got some cred.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got cred.
You be a lion tamer. I was a lion tamer one time, too.
All right, well, we'll learn about that another time.
And big game hunter. And his friend, John Murphy, a 28-year-old laborer for a steamship company. Now, these two guys.
That's not a lot of cred.
He's got life by the ass.
Well.
That's what they've got.
He's 28 years old. He's getting more tail than the old lion tamer.
I don't think so.
This guy's only 40 years old, Timmy.
Being a lion tamer is a panty dropper. I can tell you that right now.
Let's don't use up all of our lion tamer material because we got a topic coming up on a lion tamer.
No, I'm telling you, though, nothing turn on a woman like you come in holding a chair and a whip.
All right.
That's,
be like, get in a corner,
true.
Girl. Get in a corner. Back your ass down. Go.
That's true.
Yep.
Throw some steak at me.
I do not, I'm not going to sit here while you talk about violence against women.
It's not violence, Timmy, if they're asking for it. Some women just like,
he's so
come
stupid.
On, Daddy.
Yeah,
no,
really
I mean,
is. Confirm that I'm shaking my head, Brandy, so
you
I don't catch
you are shaking
up.
Your head, and I also understand what Chuck's saying. Chuck's saying they're there voluntarily.
They're
there
consensual.
Are people, there are women that enjoy that.
Like to have a little whip play.
But, you know, a lion tamer, panty dropper.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you it's got like the being spandex a fighter pilot. On. And you're
well,
doing
no,
the
it's not just that.
In
I mean,
chair.
Okay, let's not use up all of our lion tamer discussion because we have a topic coming up.
Okay, so these two
sure
men, Timmy. Now I'm trying. Now picture this, Timmy.
Yeah, paint a picture for me, Colonel.
It's July 14th, 1916.
Okay, 10 days
Timmy.
After Independence Day. Summer's hot.
It's hot. They start their day by heading out on Raritan Bay for some fishing.
All right.
But before heading out in a small boat, Schleicher noticed a broken oar laying on the dock, and he tossed it into the 8-foot vessel and continued out into the water with a broken oar. Now, that don't make a goddamn bit of sense, but, you know, this guy...
Well, you don't want
who,
a letter.
Well, he tamed tigers, so he don't need a whole oar.
Well, you do need a... You know, oars come in handy.
Now...
oar. An oar.
Oh. This was an oar, Timmy.
Oar. I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, they didn't throw a whore in the boat with them. They threw a whore. They didn't throw a broken down whore in the boat with them.
Because daytime whores are awful.
So, well, some people work first shift. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, before heading out in a small boat, they threw this into the 8-foot vessel, Timmy.
For real.
I got a vessel for your ass.
You do not.
And continued out into the water. Now they're cruising comfortably, Timmy, in the sea.
Oh, I see. The wind is blowing in their hair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah.
You get that salty taste, you know, the water gets in
they're
your mouth.
They're smelling that, Timmy. Yeah. They're like the seagulls.
They have some that taffy.
It's just all flying around them. And it's, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those days, Timmy, where the world all seems right.
Yeah.
Until.
Except for the sharks biting people's abdomens.
Until their boat came to a sudden halt approximately 4 miles from Matawan Creek. And a few seconds later, the boat was dragged backwards, Timmy.
Dag.
Now, devil, as the men looked at the back of the boat, they were met with the sight of a huge shark dragging them before it turned and raised its head out of the water, biting and thrashing wildly.
You ain't got that.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, you're gonna need more than a chair and a whip.
Well, he's got the oar.
They were not armed with any weapons.
You got a broken oar.
They have a broken oar.
But Schleicher, being the lion taming some bitch he was,
the badass.
I prefer the adjective damaged. A damaged oar.
A broken oar. He remembered the broken oar.
He's badass. Lion
he
tamer's
grabbed the splintered piece of wood and began striking and stabbing at the shark until a strike into the gills finally killed the monster, Timmy.
Man, this guy's
they're battling out
told
there.
You badass.
Yeah. Oh, I've fought a shark before, but I didn't have an oar. I
and
just
you know
had
what?
To use my hands.
I've had oars before.
Well, did you beat a shark with one?
No.
And
no.
Here's the thing. This is what you're going to run into now. So you killed the shark. And blood's in the water. So
yeah, it's like inviting the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, so now everybody knows there's a cookout.
Well, these men now, they're exhausted by this time, but they hauled his carcass into a dock in South Amboy, New Jersey, where volunteers were able to get it onto shore. The creature dragged
Nothing
out
like
of Raritan Bay
Randy.
Was indeed a massive shark, weighing approximately 350 pounds and measuring over 7 feet long.
Mm. That's massive.
Early reports claimed that
Big
it was definitely a great white shark, a claim challenged today, Timmy.
Oh, it's challenged.
But was it the beast responsible for the terror that began haunting New Jersey over 2 weeks ago?
Was it
that
a beast of
burden?
That was
the question.
2 weeks prior. 2 weeks ago would be like 2 weeks ago.
I don't write these fucking scripts. I just read what's down here. If it was 2 weeks prior, fucking Shakespeare, put it in there. The goddamn English teacher.
It's a beast of burden.
So the answer was settled for most people when the shark was cut open, revealing a stomach filled with 15 pounds of human remains, Timmy.
Ooh.
Why didn't it poop that out?
Well, it takes...
Was it just hanging there?
Yeah, well, it's probably constipated.
I don't know how sharks digest.
I wonder if human meat
system.
Does that to a shark.
Did they have any gallbladders in there?
Well, the body of the shark, Timmy, now known as the Matawan Maneater, was mounted on the front of Schleicher's shop for many years before disappearing into obscurity.
Hell yeah, he mounted that shit on the front of his shop.
Absolutely.
Goddamn right he did. That's like the Clint Eastwood, The Forgiven. When they should have shot the owner where he shoots a guy and he says, "You just shot an unarmed man." He said, "Well, you ought to arm yourself if you're going to decorate my bar with your friend." Well, my friend.
That is true, but it's been a long time since I've seen The Unforgiven.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies. Now, the story, however, Timmy. Mm-hmm.
Does it take a turn?
It remains a Jersey legend for decades until it was released into the whole of public memory with the book in 1975 film Jaws, which borrowed heavily from the story of the New York Jersey shark attacks of 19 and 16, Timmy.
Hmm.
Now, today, Madawin Creek and the bridge where the shark was sighted still stand.
Still standing.
Creek.
A silent and eerie tranquil.
And when the
park.
Water is running rapidly, it's a quick quake.
It's a quick.
A silent and eerie tranquil. You can't interrupt me. Timmy's got pros here.
I got pros.
You said quake.
A silent and eerie. Eerily.
You really invite interruption when you say quake.
Did I say quake?
Clearly.
A silent and eerie. Tranquil
write that down in your book.
Part of a true story that shook New Jersey and continues
Did
to
really?
Terrify beachgoers today. Now, marine biologists theorize that the shark had probably been injured and unable to catch its normal prey, so as a result, it turned to slow humans.
Theorize?
However.
So, can you get this? So, it's injured, it can't eat its regular food, so it has to eat slow humans.
Well, that's just the theorize.
Slow humans. Now, however,
I have theorized when I watch a sad movie.
Suggested highly unlikely that a single shark perpetuated all the attacks, Timmy.
So they think there's multiple sharks.
They think there was a gang of sharks, Timmy.
Like jets. Yeah. Once you're a jet, you're always a jet.
Once you're a shark,
that's what
you're
I
always
hear.
A shark.
Chuck, I want to interrupt you for a minute. You missed the part when we talked about how they tried to catch the sharks earlier. They used dynamite.
Yeah.
You would have liked that.
That's the best way to catch a shark.
Yeah.
You go out and find a gill, you throw a stick in there, boom.
Go out and find a gill.
I mean, you see the fin up on the top of the water?
No, Dickweed Magoo.
You threw it at the
Here's
gill?
Here's the thing.
They were just doing it
in the water. They were just throwing dynamite in the creek and it was blowing
up.
That's
kind of like they was trying to stop hurricane.
I know.
By shooting at
I think they were having a fish fry.
Continue, Colonel.
Well,
let's wrap his fucking story up.
Whether the attacking sharks included a
theorize.
Bull,
theorize it for me.
Quick. Tiger Quick. Or white shark cannot be concluded at this time and may well remain forever open to speculation and debate, Timmy. Now, in 1974, writer Peter Benchley published Jaws.
I just want to point out, he's the best speaker on our podcast. Quick.
A novel about a rogue white shark that terrorizes...
A rogue white shark?
A rogue white shark.
Rogue. No, I understand rogue, and I understand what it means, but that just makes it sound like he's told the rest of his little pod, fuck you guys, I'm going to get me what I want.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
He went rogue on him. Now, he terrorizes the fictional coastal community of Amity Island.
It's a Sarah Palin shark.
Chief of Police Martin Brody, biologist Matt Hooper, and fisherman Quint hunt the shark after it kills four people. The novel is loosely based on this, the events of 1916, and was adapted as the film Jaws by Steven Spielberg in 1975. Timmy?
Steven Spielberg himself, Brandy.
Did they film it on the Queek?
On the Queek.
What did you think? What do you think about Steven Spielberg?
I enjoy his filmmaking very much.
I think his filmmaking's kind of fucked up. I did not enjoy E.T. There was not E.T. had
I've never seen that movie.
You know what?
What?
The sumbitch had supernatural powers, but all those kids were always in the jam, and the motherfucker, he could make bikes lift off the ground, right? Right? Am I right? Did the kids lift off the ground?
Yeah, he was sick.
But now, hold on. Those fucking kids they pedaled for 4 fucking miles till they was about to have little tiny
they
kid
were
heart
some
attacks.
Peddling motherfuckers.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, when they're all just trapped and cornered and they can't get away, E.T. lifts them up off the ground. Well, motherfucker, why didn't you do that 4 miles ago?
Well, he didn't need them to do that. They didn't need him to do that 4 miles ago because they were peddling.
Maybe he wanted to get their steps in.
No, I mean, that was just some bullshit. If I was one of the kids, I'd be like, fuck you, E.T., why you had to wait 4 miles? I mean, I had to jump over. They was jumping over traffic. They was riding through traffic. They was doing all kinds of crazy shit. Then all of a sudden, when they about to get caught, E.T. got some supernatural powers. Going to lift them up off the ground.
Brandy.
That's some bullshit. All I'm saying.
Brandy.
E.T. was a little prick.
Brandy.
If I see E.T. today, I kick his ass.
Brandy.
Fuck E.T.
Brandy.
E.T. kiss my ass.
F-U-E-T.
F-U-E-T.
Brandy.
Kiss my
Your final thoughts on
ass, E.T.
Man-Eater. the terror on the Jersey Shore?
My final thoughts.
Yes.
Don't stay out of the shark's home.
Do you think it was one shark or many sharks?
Stay out of the shark's home.
What's your
home.
Theory? Was it a great white? Was
I
it
have
a,
no theory.
Was it a bull?
But God willing, shark? And the queek don't rise, then I will never have to face this kind of obstacle.
Colonel, your final thoughts on Maneater, the terror on the Jersey Shore.
I think it was a frog to me.
A frog.
Now, you ever seen a big, big frog? Because a big, big frog will fuck you up to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
they give you warts.
Huh?
They give you warts.
No, I mean, you get a big frog because for years we've been gigging frogs, right?
Yeah, for years.
At some point,
I'm a frog's
going to have
from
their
way back.
Yeah, the frog going to have their revenge.
Yeah, they'll gig you right back.
Yeah. That's so why, I think it was a frog.
That's why you see so many squirrels. It's recon.
Because if you could see if as we've talked about and it's been scientifically proven
you
to
never
happen.
See frogs playing leapfrog. You ever notice that? Just something to think about.
I seen a frog get eaten by a snake up in Wisconsin, Kenosha, really? Wisconsin. That was pretty cool. It was right in my driveway. But anyway.
Okay, Colonel.
As we have established, occasionally a vagina will pop up with some teeth in it.
I don't think we've established that at
all. Less than
1%. You can't tell me.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. You can't tell me occasionally a frog ain't born with some big-ass teeth.
Yeah. He's got a point, Brandy.
And if a frog's born with some teeth, he's going to want to get some revenge for all his relatives that have been fucked with before.
Well, yeah, the people eating their legs.
Yeah. So he eats other people.
All these amputees.
What's the common thing that these people all had to me? They got their legs bit off.
Right. Yeah. Pretty soon you're going to see that with chickens. They're going to eat people's fingers.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be fucking up people.
Their fingers. They'll eat people's fingers because people eat theirs.
I got bit on the finger by a chicken.
That's terrifying. That's amazing.
Brandy,
both of you are absolutely amazing.
Okay, it seems my wound has opened up.
We would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit.
Just a wee little bit. It helps. It really does. It means the world to us.
You could just give us a tip.
And Brandy, would you like to give a shout out to all those wonderful people who support us on Patreon?
Sure.
Thank you, Brandy.
You think he can manage that, Devil?
I don't know. I am not well.
Without insulting somebody.
I have the consumption.
Yes.
Not well.
And just a public service announcement.
Chuck,
I know summer's over.
We need to leave soon.
You got 25 minutes before you got to leave. Timmy, I know summer's almost over. But you administrating women, could you stay out of the water? Because it gets people like me bit by a shark.
The administrating women should just stay out of the water.
If
that's
you could.
Perfect.
The administrating
what
women.
What about the women who have degrees in administration?
Well, it depends on the degree of administration you have. But remember, a shark can smell one drop of blood from 10 miles away.
One remember drop that, of blood. Brandy.
And then he comes in and he says, no, I don't want to mess with her because she all in a cranky mood. She liable to eat me herself. I'm going to eat this poor fat bastard next to her.
If they were wise, they'd bring Reese cups.
They would. Shark
okay.
Reese cups.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Just thank the Patreon people, please.
Yes. And we love all of our listeners.
We do. Thank you so much for all of your Patreon support. Nene, Bridget Bernhard, Stacy, Christine Heuer, Cheryl Weldon, Alicia and Chip, Jen Moyer, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, James Seabright, Eric Fowler, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Maggie Glover, Marsha Boris, who didn't she just get like a huge promotion?
Yes, she did.
Big attorney, big time attorney now.
Very big deal. Yes. Probably won't listen to us anymore. Don't blame her. Stacy Alsop.
Well, not after you've offended her.
Yeah.
She's big time. She's a big deal.
I know she's a big deal. I'm saying she's a good listener, but, you know, when you start, you know, talking bad about sharks, it's going to offend
she's
people.
An attorney. She don't like to hear bad things about sharks.
Oh, for the love of Pete. Jody Wells, Daniel Sweet, Amber Sweet, Amber Anderson, the people from They Walk Among Us.
Ben and Rosanna.
Ben and Rosanna.
Yes. Laura Violet. Michael Deo, Kelly Charlotte, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph Kern, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terrors.
Great podcast.
Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, the Now American History podcast.
Joe Hopkins.
Our friend Joe.
Yes.
Joe.
Rebecca Osinger.
Cheryl. Rebecca Omelet.
Thank you. Catherine Cock Garage Richardson. Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Donna Curran, John, Sue Story, Christine Bourgeois, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, the History Goes Bump people.
Diane Student,
our good friend.
Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Megita Smith, Dr. Jeff and Don Chestnut, who have the Backroads of History podcast and Poems Read by Jeff.
Yes, and check those out, please.
Who, when I was being held hostage in the hospital, I called for some technical advice, and Dr. Jeff helped me out.
Well, both of those podcasts were amazing. Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp. Shirley, honey, if you're still out there, reach out and let everybody know you're still alive, because you're getting a lot of tributes on the page.
Yeah, we miss you, Shirley.
Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Irvin, Jennifer Siemens, Cindy Liu, Kristen, Heather Poole, The Vanished Podcast.
Marissa. Great podcast. Our good friend Marissa.
And her, you seen that little boy she had?
Mm-hmm.
Cute little devil.
Zachary, the folks over at Canadian True Crime.
Christy O'Connor.
Charlie and Allie.
From Insight.
Yes. Tracy Smith. And Jess from Kiwi Crimes.
Yes. Great podcast. Check out Kiwi Crimes. I can't say that.
Kiwi Crimes?
Kiwi Crimes.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And that seems to be everybody. Oh, and Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Thank you. And Lady Beverly.
And Miss Dottie.
Wonderful Dottie.
Yes.
And Miss Dottie.
Yes. And just remind everyone again, we've got DweebCon coming up. Please check on our Facebook page. Our Facebook group page, History Dweebs, the podcast, and you can get more information about upcoming events at DweebCon. It's going to be spectacular, Brandy.
If you want to come, Casey's going to be there.
Yes, Casey's going to be there.
Nina will be there.
With her father.
Nina Instead from Already Gone, and Mark from The
Conspirators.
Yes, so it's going to be a big deal.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's going to be real podcasters there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can come to DweebCon and meet real podcasters.
Yes. And you can meet us, too.
And us, too.
Yeah.
My other brother's coming, too.
Oh, your other
I'll
brother.
Have both yep. brothers
Other
there.
Brother from another mother?
Yes, Daryl.
Daryl. And your other brother, Daryl?
Do you know how many people are not going to get that joke? But yes. Yeah. No, I have two brothers. Both of them have decided to come and support me, which is odd, since they're very unsupportive people.
Well, that's awesome. Will they bring sharks?
They probably won't bring sharks, but Casey will probably bring his wife.
Okay.
Grace? No, Grace is a little girl.
Allison.
Her name's Allison.
Yes.
His little daughter's Grace.
No.
Georgia. Yes.
Georgia.
You fucking pay attention when Georgia. I talk at all.
Georgia. The whole day through. I'll sing.
Thank you, everyone, for joining out.
Hey, Ray.
Just an old sweet song. Keep Georgia on my mind.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.